when you're in business, and especially being a female in business, you're constantly talking about branding, who you are, what you identify as, who your demographics are, what your niche is, what you specialize in. At the end of the day, anyone can create something because they've been inspired by somebody else, or they can run those same footprints or steps as somebody else.
In this episode, I'm sitting down with an absolute freaking boss when it comes to business and entrepreneurship.
One thing that a lot of us don't have these days is focus, and it's really easy to be distracted.
This woman is a serial entrepreneur and a multiple business owner.
One thing that I've always been told by my mentors and coaches along the way is, Katie, just don't look left, don't look right, just keep running, because what you create and what you do, you are you and no one is you. I guess that's my superpower.
We talk all things about how to manage multiple businesses, how to manage your time effectively, and build your empire. So how many businesses have you got now?
They're all set up in multiple entities, so it sounds really confusing with all my trusts and companies and businesses.
Yeah.
I've got 5 solid.
We go really into the nitty gritty of the attitude of what it really takes to not only have a successful life, but to grow a successful business.
Sometimes the biggest successes are from the biggest failures.
What's been your biggest failure?
One failure.
Plus, she shares the 3 secret V's that you must include when it comes to your branding. What are the 3 V's? You guys are going to love this episode. So if you're here for the first time, welcome to Dream Nation. And if you're coming back, I'd love to welcome you back. Now, please help me welcome the one and only Miss Katie Stevens. All right, Katie. Welcome to the podcast.
Morgan, thanks for having me. I think we've talked about this for about 3 months.
We have been trying to make this work for a while. I'm super excited to dive into all things you've done, because when I was unpacking all of your stuff and putting together a few of my notes here, it got more exciting and more exciting and more exciting. And one thing that I want to start on this, see, you've built multiple businesses already. You're in your 30s. You've been in business since, I think, probably the day you were born by the sounds of it. Multiple businesses. You've had a 7-figure exit by 24. You've done business deals. You're doing business deals with old men by the age of 19.
And, one way to put it.
And you've grown one of the largest female business networking groups here in Australia. So what I'm curious to know is, what makes you different, the way you think, the way you act, the way you live, from the average person who's also trying to make something?
Yeah, good question. Straight to the USP. What is my unique selling point? What makes me different is I'm me and nobody's me, right? So it's funny, because when you're in business, and especially being a female in business, you're constantly talking about branding, who you are, what you identify as to the market, who your demographics are, what your niche is, what you specialize in. And I think at the end of the day, anyone can create something because they've been inspired by somebody else, or they can run those same footprints or steps as somebody else. But one thing that I've always been told by my mentors and coaches along the way is, Katie, just don't look left, don't look right, just keep running, because what you create and what you do, even if you are fueled by inspiration from others that may have walked similar paths, is that you are you and no one is you. I guess that's my superpower.
Who was some of your mentors?
Mentors that I've had in the past, funnily enough, I've always looked up to my parents. They've carved out business in multiple areas, in multiple industries. I like to say it's my second language, really. So from a young age, it was always just demeanor, how you treat people. And now that I'm an adult, it's funny, because the most simplest of things have always stuck, which are hard to come by, but were instilled in such a young age. Like, you know, the whole business, you know, over the handshake, like our parents used to do, that obviously doesn't exist anymore. But just making sure that, you know, you treat people with kindness, and at the end of the day, we're all here for a short time. So treating people well and looking after not just yourself and serving, so to speak, always comes full circle. So I'd say my parents are probably my biggest inspiration. My whole family's in business, lucky for me. And a lot of my networks are. I've got friends that are in startup infancy, ideation phase of business, and I've got friends that are, you know, multi-millionaires that have, you know, acquired businesses, gone through different acquisitions, and I've learned along the way. So I sort of have the best of both worlds, but I like to keep it quite diverse, because it fuels different parts of probably my personality depending on how fast I'm running at the time.
Yeah. So the thing you're saying is making you different is leading to what makes you unique. But what I'm curious to know is, like, how do you think, like, as someone who's done the things you've done, right? You're in your early 30s, 7-figure exit by 24, you have multiple businesses. You just sort of sound like the person who, you have an idea and you just go for it. There's no blocks, there's no fears, there's no doubts. Or is there?
Good question. I used to say yes, work the rest out later.
That's already fire
aim.
It's
got me in trouble a few times.
I always say it's always easier to apologize and ask for forgiveness.
Yeah, 100%. And in a lot of respects, I mean, that's probably what's got me to just get shit done, so to speak. You know, I think fear, well, I don't know, fear is an emotion, like what people think of you. And what is fear? I mean, I don't even really sit there and think about what it is, because for me, I'm more fearful of not trying and knowing what the outcome could be. I'm more fearful of going, well, what happens if I'm in my 30s, 40s, 50s? And I go, I should have done this 10 years ago, but didn't. So I guess that's probably the biggest driver for me. I am extrinsically driven, also intrinsically on different levels. But I think it's funny, because I was having a chat with my girlfriends last week about this, and we were saying that, you know, once you become a mother, and I'm not a mother yet, but once you become a mother, things change and you start, you know, considering your children, and, you know, maybe you wouldn't do those things, or you wouldn't go on those rides at the fair because what happens if it broke, and all these, you know, fear mindset sort of slips in. And I sat there and I was thinking, why am I different, or why do I think the way I think now versus what I thought, how I thought when I was in my 20s? And the truth is, I probably had a lot less fear when I was in my 20s. I was just, like I just said before, say yes, work the rest out later. I was so fixated on what could be the goal, the future, the next step, and then I get there, and then, that I probably didn't really live much in the present at the time or in the past. So it just led me to the next thing. And I think when you slow down, which is probably arguable, but that's when you process things, and that's when you pull things apart. And look, there's pros and cons for everything, but if you overanalyze things, then you start stepping into a mindset where perhaps you're more, you know, fixated than to be open to go, you know what, I'm just going to run with it and see what happens, because sometimes the biggest successes are from the biggest failures.
Right. What's been your biggest failure?
Well, on failure, I don't know that I can pinpoint something that has been super pivotal to actually completely change who I am. I've lost friends outside of business. Well, I've lost friends and, you know, been there for their last, you know, breaths of life. And that's probably instilled massive determination and inspiration for me of where I'm at. But when it comes to failure, I mean, I've had, what do you call it, some pinpoint or pivotal movements in business, if we're talking about business. One of them, the first one that comes to mind, would probably be when I was running my promotional modeling agency. And I started and built that up when I was 19. And I grew up to about 1,500 staff. And I had a lot of
1,500 staff.
Yeah.
Holy shit. So, just here in Australia?
Yeah. We worked in with mother agencies and sent some of our models over to like Milan and Paris and whatnot. But in the show, we had quite a big database. And
who managed all of them? Were you like the manager, or did you play a different role?
We had managers. Yeah. Yeah.
God damn.
So I had this one moment, and it was actually quite pivotal if you want to talk about failure, but we had big key accounts. So think anything from big alcohol brands to trade shows to hair brands to you name it. We housed a lot of brands and facilitated anything from promotional work to photographic catwalk, all those sorts of campaigns. And one of my huge key accounts that literally paid every single 30 days, that kept our finances running, our cash flow in check, our forecasting all good, they paid every 30 days. So we paid our models every single week. So, you know, our wages alone were upwards of anywhere from 10 to sometimes even $15,000 a week. And at that point, and that was probably even in low to medium sort of seasons. But what happened was, this client actually simply just sent us an email on a Monday morning, and the accounts manager said, hey, look, we've gone through some restructure. Our accounts payable is now going to be extended from 30 to 90 days. And they were at that point our biggest paying client, which meant that we had no cash flow to be able to pay our models. So from paying our models weekly to then going, we've got like 3 weeks and we have no money in our account, to then hope that our models would still turn up and keep working. That was a really pivotal moment where we went, we need to restructure our finances too. So that would have actually sent me under, to be honest, if we hadn't have pivoted at that time.
What did you do? How did you pivot that?
We literally just put it back onto other clients, and we had to break it down where we had to call other clients and say, look, I know we've been lenient. You're a small business and we usually give you 60-day terms, but you actually need to pay 50% up front and then 50%, you know, prior to the job, because that gave us more cash flow to inject to be able to pay our models to then, you know, carry these big accounts, because they were, some of them were, yeah, hundreds of thousands of dollars, and we couldn't afford to lose them as a client, but then we couldn't afford to carry them as a client when we couldn't afford to pay our staff.
What was your first business? Was that your first business?
Well, my first business, Morgan, was come at the ripe age of, I think I was 7.
Yes.
And I was picking flowers. No, I used to actually sell flowers, steal flowers.
Steal them from the neighbours, sell them back
to them. Yeah, that was where I got caught out of. They forgot what house I took the flowers from. But no, my very first business, actually, funnily enough, because it has come full circle 15 odd years later, was here on the Gold Coast. And it was actually a mobile spray tanning business. And I had done beauty. Actually, my education background in university was, degree was French teaching. And so I did that, come back, and university, I ended up being a bit of a dropout. I dropped out, not a bit of a dropout, but I dropped out of university. And then I went back into beauty. So I worked with my sister, got my certification. And I was like, what's a business that I don't have to work for anyone? I can make some quick money and I can get trained really quick and easy and be really good at it. And that was spray tanning. So I literally had like a pop-up spray tan tent in my boot. I went and did flyer drops back when it wasn't illegal to do at the shopping centres.
Yeah.
I couldn't even afford to get like coloured print. So I'd get it printed black ink on coloured paper and chop it up into three, and I'd go put on all the windscreens at Pacific Fair Shopping Centre. And I work out that if I dropped 100, I might get like, you know, 20 calls that might transact to like 10 people in spray tans. And then I used to drive to people's house and spray tan them from basically their bathrooms. Yeah.
And now you've taken that. So we're talking before we recorded, you've still got that business happening at the moment, right? But you've revolutionised it. Like, you're telling me something. Explain how has that business now transitioned into what you're doing now?
Yeah, with Sprayed. So I think it was probably a little bit of a post or during the pandemic, it sort of come to mind. And it was something I always wanted to dabble in, because I've been traveling the world, spray tanning, doing translation work, working with beauty teams for fitness shows and things like that for the last sort of 6-7 years, and just a lot of hosting work in between. But when I can't even say I exited that small startup business. It was just the fact I closed the tent one day and got busy doing other things. So when it come full circle again, only just 3 years ago, is, you know, we're in a pandemic and you've got all these restrictions of, you know, being contactless and not coming close to people and all these things. And you're seeing people be able to get their hair done, and they're allowed to go to gyms on and off periodically, depending on lockdowns. And I was like, why can't people go and get, you know, some sort of beauty treatment that makes them feel like confident in their skin, makes them walk out the door. It can be self-serve. They can just tap a buzzer, you know, how you scan at the gym door and you go in anytime, 24-hour business model. And I was like, well, if I can get that model and I can integrate it into beauty, what would the treatments be that I selfishly want? And that was spray tanning and light therapy. So I actually started Sprayed, 3 years ago. I opened the first one about 2.5 years ago in Mount Gravatt in Brisbane.
And so it's in a shopping centre, is it?
It's its own standalone. It's its own standalone studio. So it's got 2 spray tan rooms with the private automated booth. So you basically, from the palm of your hand, get your phone, join it. We've got an app. So you join the app, you create an account, you can buy a casual pass. It's a bit of a hybrid model. So you can be a member, you can pay as you go. As long as you're prepaid, you've done all the security checks, and you can enter and get a spray tan at 3 a.m. in the morning.
That is so insane.
In the afternoon. Yeah.
I love that, because that's like just so – are you one of the first here in Australia to do that? Are there other ones like you here?
It is the first beauty studio with encompassing light therapy, spray tanning, and we've got also got a zero gravity massage chair as well. That is actually the first one on the app, the integration that exists.
Wow. Yeah. How many stores have you got set up?
We've just opened the second one. So I opened Mermaid Beach down here on the Gold Coast. Gosh, we're not even a year yet.
It's super new. Yeah. So is this, are you franchising this, or are you just going to take over? How's it?
This is like the question. Stay tuned. No, we have lots coming up. So at this point, when it comes to business, you've got to know your numbers, right? And that's probably something that naturally I'm not drawn towards, because I love being the face of the brand. I love branding. I love all the exercises of the aesthetics and, you know, worrying about consumers and customer service and marketing journey. So when it comes to knowing your numbers, it's so important and vital, especially when it's a bricks and mortar business. So being a couple of years in, there's so many things that you need to sort of test and trial behind the closed doors before you can start, you know, putting the business into the hands of somebody else. But yeah, absolutely. There's definitely lots more layers coming.
I'm excited to see that. That sounds cool.
Anytime.
Come get my spray tan on. So another thing is, so you're a multi-purpose entrepreneur. You've got that. You've got multiple things happening, and I want to sort of dive into a few of them. But one of the things you do, you're also coaching and mentoring other people to start their own businesses and crash it in business, right? So I'm curious to know, what is more important when it comes to business, branding or marketing?
Straight up, I think that they integrate. I think they both come hand in hand together, but you need to have a brand before you have anything to market. And I say that not from just coming from a personal sense, because that can be quite a how long's a piece of string sort of question. I mean, if you're just going to launch an e-com business, find something that's trending on Amazon and plug and play and off you go, then look, marketing's everything. But you've got to have a consistent brand. And that sounds silly to say when it comes to like the finer details, but if you click on any website, you want to know that throughout the website, the colors, and we're talking like basic color palettes and stuff, are on par, that it doesn't look like it's just something that's whipped up from, you know, someone in primary school potentially. Back to your question, branding or marketing, they do go hand in hand, but I guess it depends on what business or what industry you're in. If you're going to be in coaching, like, who are you? What are you about? Like, that comes down to, you know, your three V's that I actually coach in my course.
What are the three V's?
Your values, your vision, and your visuals.
So the values of the company?
Yes. Or if you're your own brand, it's obviously who you are, your identity, but mainly, yeah, the business.
Well, again, so values?
Vision. And visuals. Aesthetics.
So this is, we're talking about branding, right? Yep. So you're getting people to get their values correct, their vision. How far in advance are you vision casting for people? Or do you recommend for people?
I don't think there's a recommendation for how far you have to actually have a vision, depending on where you're at in your, if you want to call it entrepreneurship, a journey or your business journey. Look, you always need to know what you want to do, or what your key strengths are. And if you know what your key weaknesses are, even better, because you can work out how to plug and play people in those roles. And then maybe what's the end game. So it could go either way. If you've got a fork in the road, do you exit it? Is it a quick, you know, turnaround e-com business? I mean, we are in the world now where a lot of people, I've actually got a lot of friends that will just, you know, hit those hero products, run with a business name, shut it down, start another one, shut it down, start another one. If it's a long business game, I mean, what's the journey on that as well? So the vision can be arguably on a different, I guess, time length, a scale. I'm pretty strong with what my vision is in life, or my mission, so to speak. But when it comes to each business, I always will have several options, because, you know, if one doesn't work out, how can you pivot and move if you need to, you know, move things quickly or whatnot, change direction.
So let's say someone listening to this, watching this right now, they've got a business, they're kind of going, maybe they're making $2,000 a month. It's like a side hustle. What is the thing they need to focus on to actually get off the ground? Because what I see a lot is people just getting so distracted by a lot of shit, trying to do things that might be like 10 steps ahead of what they should be doing right now. What should the early stage entrepreneurs, business owners be focusing on just to really get their business off the ground?
Yeah, I mean, one thing that a lot of us don't have these days is focus, and it's really easy to be distracted. It's really easy, like you said, you know, $2,000 a month as a side hustle. Well, how serious are you? If you're happy just, you know, making $2,000 a month and you've got your everyday job, but that just happens to be a passion of yours on the side, and it's better that than being at the pub drinking, sure, I think that's great. But if you wanted to really get your ducks in line, and what you should be doing is you need to be clear and you need to have clarity. And you know, it can be a bit hoo-ha these days with everyone throwing things around about, you know, mental clarity and taking time out and self-love and self-this and yada, yada, yada. But you need actually to be able to disconnect to reconnect. And for me, my biggest ideas could come with my head in a hole at a massage, you know, on a massage table.
I wish I could take a notepad.
Yeah, 100%. I'm like, can you remove the candle from under there and give me like a notepad? Yeah, absolutely. But I think you need to one, focus, even if it's not a super long period of time, but no phones, no technology, completely disconnect, whether that's at the beach, in your backyard, child-free, dog-free, distraction-free, noise-free, and just sit in that. And determination. I think there's, you know, having grit and determination is unsurpassable, and it can be easily excused these days for, well, I am determined, it's just that. And I'm naturally someone that has grit. However, this thing happened. And I think that that's a non-negotiable.
One thing I say to people is probably the first thing that's really going to help them have a quantum leap in their attitude is avoiding three things. They got to avoid blaming, complaining, and justifying. Because if they're going to blame other people, they're putting everything outside themselves. And it's not me, it's this happened. Or if they're going to complain, they're focusing on all the things that are not working, and they're just going to bring more of that into their life. The third one is like what you just said then, justifying. And I see this kill more dreams than anything else, because whenever we justify, the words that follow because will actually cement as a new belief, and we'll start to then on, from that moment on, start to collect evidence to reinforce that new belief. So if we say, oh, but I wish I could do what you're doing, Katie, but you don't understand because I've got these kids.
Yeah.
Now what happens is, well, you can't be as successful as Katie because you're a mother or because you're a father. Then every single time you see the kids get in the way of or drain your energy or whatever, it reinforces it again. So being able to catch what you just said then is like justifying. I see it kills so many freaking dreams.
100%. And I think it's, what you think you become, right? And that's one thing I always say is if you can literally see it in your mind, you can hold it in your hand.
Mm.
The only barrier that between those two things is you. Support systems is huge as well, because I think that a lot of people may feel that they're supported, but support comes in so many different realms, and working out who and where those people are strategically placed in your life, not for just the benefit of yourself, but for your business, but for, mental health, if you want to talk about that as well, for your future, for your mindset, for your business, for your operations, for your finances, for, profitability at the end of the day. I think it all, coincides, but quantum leaps for sure.
So on your journey, you've been through, I saw that you went through a hard heartbreak while you're in the middle of growing your business. And I'm also going to assume that there's been countless of other just setbacks, challenges, obstacles, and just so many things that just come up that you're not expecting. What goes through the mind of Katie when massive obstacles like that happen that are unexpected?
I'm actually trying to think of that heartbreak. I'm like, that must have been many versions of me ago. I don't know where you read that.
About 19.
Okay.
While you were building your agency in Vegas.
Gotcha. Okay.
I know more about you than you.
I'm just trying to take a trip down memory lane. I really struggle, and I still do. I'll be the first to put my hand up to say I struggle to be present when I'm so excited for what could be. And not that I chase materialistic things, but I just get excited of the endless possibilities of who I could talk to. I'm the person that walks in the room that just gets excited by energy. And I feel gravitated to people that have a high energy or that sort of have that similar vibration. And then I go home and I'm like, I am so energized. I'm full of life. Let's go. Let's, create business. Let's, level up in life. Opposed to, I've got friends and networks where they'll be like, oh my God, I just need a week off. Like, I just feel so depleted of energy of being around people. But it does come back to mindset. And I think, if you don't actually take a chance in life or what you want, then you don't really have a chance. So similar to what I just said before is seeing people at the end of their life. And I know it's probably sounds a little bit, dark saying that, but it's true, is that the what, coulda, shoulda, woulda, but isn't, is probably what is my main pivotal movement for having that cut through mindset. As I've gotten older, and I think it probably helped bring another business to fruition, was my journals and my stationery collection, is that I was going through another heartbreak. I actually can't remember the details of it, but there was a lot going on in my life in that time, and I needed to just slow down to actually reset. And I remember thinking, God, this is really hard to just be. And I remember just doing the sensations of what can I smell, what can I feel, all these sorts of things.
You were writing these?
Well, it led me to write it. And at the time I was like, right, put music in my ears, love Eminem, any of his lyrics, that will keep me, preoccupied than what's going on in my real life. Go to the gym, train, sweat, whatever, move some frustration, get some endorphins going. And then I started journaling and I started writing down, I started creating my own prompts and I started Googling and I was like, give me some more prompts, give me something else. What can I focus on? What do I want to do just today? Because thinking about what I could do for that week or that month, or, even longer, it just seemed to be too hard. It was almost like just come back to putting one foot in front of the other. And even though I felt like at the time I was getting drawn backwards, one step or maybe two steps backwards actually is what catapulted me 10 steps forward. Because then when I would share that on my Instagram stories, I was like, oh, this is actually relatable to other people, because people would DM me back and say, oh my gosh, where'd you get that, you know, journal from? And it actually wasn't a journal. It was just a book I bought from Kmart or something, and I was just writing in it. And I was like, oh, this is interesting, because there's obviously some sort of desire or need on the market for people that are, you know, like me, Googling, you know, prompts on Pinterest and then writing them into my notepad. And that's sort of what led me to go, well, I think I could actually create a journal from this. And funnily enough, my publisher, I think you've actually had on your podcast, Susan Dean.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. So she did my whole collection, her and the team. Fantastic. We did notepads, pens, pop sockets for phones, all that sort of stuff. And then that obviously then complimented my Minding Her Business events, because then that was something that we could add value and give into the goodie bags and things like that.
What's up, Dream Nation? Have you ever wondered how far ahead your life would have already been if you had got access to this type of content at a younger age? Look, this is why I need your help. I'm trying to build the number one personal development platform out there to teach you guys the tips, tricks, and attitude of what it takes to live your dream life and to bring the type of education that we all wish we had in school. This show only grows by word of mouth and new subscribers, so it would mean the world to me if you could smash that subscribe button right now, leave us a 5-star written review, or drop a comment below and share this episode with a friend. I would be forever grateful. All right, now let's get back into this episode.
Wow. Okay, so through one of the challenges, you tried to solve your own problem. You did it, and then through that, create another. Is it a business or is it just another product in your product suite?
I had never had a product before that I was actually selling. So First of that, it doesn't have its own business entity, but it's tied in with Minding Her Business. It's on my personal branding, Katie Stevens' website. So I sell. Essentially, that's an e-com.
So cool.
Yeah.
Has there been any times that you can remember where you've legitimately thought that it's just not for you? Or have you ever thought like, I just fuck this, I don't get a job? Or times where you've just been like, no. Not anymore.
Famous last words. I actually giggled looking at your Insta story today. I feel you. It's December.
For me, it was fucking 9:55 a.m. I'm like, you know what? I'm not starting today. And I'm like, I got podcasts booked today. I have meetings booked today. I ain't doing it. Today's the day that I want to go become a scuba diving instructor. I'm like, is anyone hiring?
Yeah.
But then I also know simultaneously, I think it is just like the entrepreneur mindset. Simultaneously, when I have days where I'm like, fuck everything, 3.7 milliseconds later, I'm like, there's no way I could ever work for someone as well. And it's like, get back to it then. All right.
Oh, there's definitely been times. And I think, you know, what comes up goes down. You have good months, bad months in business, in life as it is. But financially speaking, yeah, there's absolutely been times where I'm like, you know what? Uber's not looking too bad. I'll put a bit of an Uber on the way to an event. I'm like, so how much do you get? What's your split? Just kidding. You know, I don't know. I don't actually think there's any job that is below or above anyone either. So for me, I'm like, well, what could I get from going and getting a job? Or what could I get from working with someone for someone to learn a new skill set, or, you know, something that I don't already sort of have in my toolkit of an entrepreneur, if you want to call it. But I never have, and I never will work for anyone, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I saw that you've never had a job.
I don't even know if I'd be employable, to be honest. I don't know if anyone's listening that would hire me. I casual few things here and there, but when I was like in school. But outside of that, no, I launched my first tanning business. I think I was like 18, and then went straight into the modeling industry, and then promotional business.
So there has been times where you've been like, just roadblocks where you've just contemplated closing business, not wanting to do it, or?
Yeah, and I've got a couple of key books that I really like to knuckle down and read at these points, because I feel like when some people say things come in threes, don't worry about it, everything, three good things, three bad things, yada, yada. But I'm like, it's also like stacking, right? It's one problem after another, and then your mindset shifts going, hang on a second, I'll show resilience and I'll level up, and then it's something else, and you go, right, I'm starting to feel a bit exhausted. Then you go to, I'm defeated. Then you go into the mindset you were talking about before, and there's like, I don't actually know, I'm sure there's some science behind it, but, you know, you go into all this, you know what, I actually can't go back to where I was, or even I can't go any other way up from here because it's just too hard. But coming back to that mindset, you saying earlier that you shifted your mindset in 3.7 milliseconds or whatever it was. I think that when you've got it in your blood and you know there's no other way, you know, I don't know, what's a comparison to that? You look at my fiance puts on these crazy, what's his name, David Attenborough shows, and there's all this hunting and stuff. And I'm sitting there going, this actually is relative when it comes to like business and things like that. I'm like, at the end of the day, if these animals don't hunt, they don't eat, right? I'm like, if I don't work and put in the effort, then, you know, what's the repercussion of that? Because that becomes far more of a pain, if you want to call it a fear as well, but that becomes far more of a pain than a purpose, than, you know, to better myself and actually create more purpose. So,
yeah, I think for me, so before I got into entrepreneurship, I started my first business at 21. I was a carpenter before, and I was literally just telling Jack, because it's like a super hot day today. And I'm like, I remember I used to be working in 42 degree heat for 14 hours a day, like carrying roofs, like walking on a 70 mil frame like this, like so dangerous, carrying fucking roofs in this heat. Oh, wow. And I would do that and I'd just be so exhausted and so like emo about my life. Just be like, this fucking sucks. Mm. And that was my life for, I worked for 5 years. Like there's people listening to this be like, fucking, you know, I get it, right? But, you know, if you're still there, then do something about it, right? That's what I did. And I was just, I think back to that. And that's always been the thing that's when I've hit times where I'm like, I'm not, fuck this. I always just think, well, it's 10 times better than what I was ever doing. Mm. Like at that job, you know, and it was especially my early days of getting it going, of when I'd come home from a job working 12 to 14 hours a day and I'd come home and work on my side hustle. And there wasn't a fiber in my body that wanted to. I was like, all I want to do is put on Netflix and relax because I'm fucked. And because of that, that was the thing that made me go, yeah. And because you're so exhausted and you don't want to do anything, that's why you must do it right now. Yeah. And I remember really buckling down for about 8 months doing that, where I was sleeping like maybe 4 hours a day or something, because that's just the time I had. But I wanted it so bad to get out of it that I used that time to get out of it. 8 months, got out of it, moved to Mexico about 23. And then that was always the thing coming back. It's like whenever there's hard times in business, there was always way more hard times. Mm. So the thing is, I think it's the paradox. People believe that they can actually avoid hard. At some point, they think that maybe one day I'll be able to avoid hard things. It's not the case at all. I think it's a matter of we get to choose our hard. So if I'm going to go back to the job site, that's hard. Or I can handle all the problems and all the bullshit that comes in business. That's also hard. But I get to choose my hard.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because the hards are hard, but I tell you what, the easy, like it's a lot easier to fly first class. tell you, when I have champagne on a plane, I'm like, oh, it's worth it. It's worth it.
That's the thing, right? You have those moments. So you're like, you know what? And they're the times you need to, which I had to work really hard to celebrate, is that when you are in those highs and you are having those moments with your champagne in first class, for example, that you can actually go, you know what? I might not have made it to what my capacity is, my true potential, all these sort of areas and ways and means of what we think that we're, you know, truly capable of or what we want in life. But those moments are like hugely pivotal compared to what could I have been if I didn't make that change? Mm-hmm. What happened? And I did have that day, even when I was exiting my agency, I used to just honestly, like it sounds like a dream looking back talking numbers, but I didn't have a life. Like I worked around the clock. I had a couch at the front reception. I cannot tell you how many times I just had a quick nap during the middle of the night and up I got and just back on the keys. And that was just the life I live. And to be honest, I was probably close to burnout that many times. I couldn't even tell you. But it's, yeah, I think it comes down to choose your hard, because the thought of going and working for someone probably, you know, at times would have been the better idea or the better option to do financially or even in other areas. But I just knew that there was more to give.
That's the thing that's so important, because a lot of entrepreneurs nowadays, and I did the same thing for years until I caught myself being like, Morgan, you're being an idiot. A lot of entrepreneurs will talk about the things that they do now, not what they did. Mm-hmm. So like, the fact you had a couch and you slept on that and then went back to work. Because that's, and like you mentioned before, this day and age, a lot of people think it's like, oh, I've got to do the whole self-care thing and the breathwork thing and the meditation. It's all great. And like in a perfect reality, yes, of course, create your dream life, build your business, do these things without burning out, of course. However, in the beginning, it's kind of just a bit of a myth. Mm-hmm. Like I don't think I've met anyone that hasn't gone through a period of, I worked my absolute fucking ass off and slept on couches, or didn't sleep much, or had to do this. I had to sacrifice so much for years. And then they get to the point where like, yeah, it actually nearly killed me. and then I figure out all these other things, then that person now teaches from that perspective, here's how you should do it. But little Johnny, who's starting his business, is like, oh, okay, so I can work my 10 hours a day, come home, I got to relax now. Mm-hmm. I got to do my 1 hour of, you know, self-care practices, and I got to do all these things. And then, oh, now it's time for bed. I'll work on my business tomorrow. Mm. Yeah, or I'll do it when it feels right. And it's just
pretty short-lived for Johnny, little Johnny. There's a lot more layers to that. So hopefully little Johnny has lots of friends that can help out, as we all need to.
It's just facts. But like I said, like I remember going through, it was about a solid 8 months. But then that's also the thing. I worked my ass off for 8 months, and then I was financially free and moved to Mexico. I haven't worked since 23. Like, and I was willing to sacrifice that. I'm like, I'm gonna not sleep much, not hang out with my friends much, but 8 months, just I didn't work that out. It just worked out that's, I crush it for 8 months, and because of the all-out focus, got to a point to be able to do it. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
I think a lot comes back to mindset, doesn't it?
Everything. So that's why I'm curious with you. So how many businesses have you got now?
How many businesses? That's a good question. They're all set up in multiple entities, so it sounds really confusing with all my trusts and companies and businesses,
yeah.
But active different businesses that all, funnily enough, connect is I've got five solid.
Five.
Yeah. Multiple in those within those companies, but
yeah. So how do you manage your time? I'm curious on that. Let's go there.
I feel like I'm a bit of a time blocking queen, and I had to get good at this because it would be a common question asked all the time. Oh my God, you work on so many businesses every day. And the truth is I don't, because I can't switch between that many different brains.
Yeah.
So I do actually time block my time. For example, if it's my events business, Minding Her Business, and we run multiple events throughout the year, then obviously they're project based. So when we're running an event, you know that you've got your 6 week lead up, you know, you've got a bit of post event work as well. And then we'll have some downtime, which is usually where my focus goes straight into my next project, which might be I run the hair and makeup for FMG Beauty, which is a fitness bodybuilding federation. So I have a team of 55 makeup artists and hairstylists, but they've only got X amount of shows per year. So then I will slip into that sort of project work. I'm also a massive believer of everything automation and love ChatGPT. I know that it can be discretionary to how you use it and where it's going to take the world, but used for the right reasons, it is just an incredible time saver as well. But what do I spend my days? I mean, to be honest, they're not working 10 hours, sitting on the couch, going to bed, mm-hmm. waking up the next morning, starting again. I do feel like I'm always on. So when I do have my downtime, I make sure it's solid downtime.
Yeah.
I don't feel like I need full resets, and maybe as I get older, I might, but I don't feel like I need these week off vacations that are completely lavish because I do so much international travel for my work. I do have that, you know, 4 hours of downtime here, a full day there or whatever, and it sort of just slips into the lifestyle. But every day is different. I never have one day that's the same, and I'm lucky I've got a really good support team.
Mm. So in one day, is it likely, like, I'm just trying to get into the brain of you. Are you more so like looking at your year perhaps and going, where's the big things that are happening in all our businesses, and you're putting your focus into certain sections throughout the year, or are you still managing five different businesses each day? Or each week, or how are you
good question. It's all layered. So for example, let's just put in a little box mm-hmm. that we've got the branding course, Building Her Brand. We might only have three intakes in 1 year. So we work on those intakes until they're four to 6 week blocks. They'll be changing to a different model next year, which is exciting, which will be even more condensed. And there's a lot more automation to that. But once those events have finished, then I move into other businesses and areas. So although there's multiple businesses in the 24/7 spray with the spray tan, the light therapy, I mean, that's operational 24/7. So I don't have to work physically in the business every minute of the day. And we do have support team, customer care service and things like that. But I certainly have my times chunked out where I overlook, you know, cash flow, forecasting, any customer service that needs my attention and things like that. So every day I don't open my laptop and deal with multiple businesses. It's all scheduled.
Because we've got a couple companies now, so, and I'm starting to also play with that going, and we run an events business as well. So you'd sort of know an events business is kind of like multiple businesses in once, because every single event could also be its own business. Like how we run ours. Like we have about, like I run a massive one called Dreamfest.
Yeah, Dreamfest.
Dreamfest is the big one that we'll have, big multi-speaker event. Next year it's going to go for 2 days. You know, so that itself is like, could be a business, because just so much goes into it. Like, we're already starting the plan now and it's going to be in September.
Yeah.
You know, and so I'm just always wanting to sort of optimize my focus. But the time blocking, and I think what's really worked for me is now Mondays for me, as I've told all my team, if you need a meeting with me, it's on a Monday. And if you can't get done with me on a Monday, then it waits till next Monday. Or if it's like a fucking 911, you call me. But it's like, apart from that, I want to deal with all the deep shit on a Monday and then leave me alone. I'm going to do all the rest of the stuff that I need to do. Because for so long, I was trying to go from task to task to task, like different things. Mm. And it is a thing, like you get your brain into a sense of flow or momentum, really. Mm-hmm. And it's just so hard to sort of jump lanes.
Yeah, 100%. And you know, people say it and it's true, you can't do it all. I mean, when I was younger, I liked to believe I could do it all and I'd go around like a little energizer bunny. But having clarity and to actually start from A to Z and complete a task, which is another thing, is I've spoken to so many people and even just interviewing on our panels on stage. And, you know, we have had speakers go, yeah, you know what? We just work it through in the morning of. I have all the layout on my tasks. I tick, 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 tick. Mm-hmm. But I think it's subject business specific. I guess everyone has a different role within their business, even if they are the CEO. I certainly work similar to you where I'm like, right, this is where we have all the hard meetings. This is where we, you know, talk deep, work it out. If there's anything I need to execute, I need to work out my week and see where I can fit that in. If not, then I'm just time blocked as to what I've got to work on and make sure I get that done.
So one of the things you help people do is create an online brand. You've built an insane online brand. You got over 100,000 followers. What's the most important thing we need to be focusing on, especially moving into 2024? Like, we're moving into the personal branding world now. Like, I know you've probably seen it coming. I've seen it coming. So I've been building a personal brand for a while. That's why we have a personal branding agency, like our podcast agency. But you look at the biggest people, like the Mr. Beasts, the Logan Pauls, they're all like using their personal brand now to create massive wealth. So if people aren't focusing on branding yet, they've got to be. Yeah. So from everything you've done, what is the most important things we need to be focusing on to actually build a proper online brand, personal brand?
I think the most important thing, and outside of the logistics of actually starting out to work out who you are, what you want to be known for, you know, the imprint that you want to leave on the earth when you leave and whatnot, is the most important thing about branding is being consistent, showing up. And if we're talking about social media, but one thing that I would love to mention, if anyone's listening wanting to build a personal brand, is it's not too late to see people. I feel like that everyone's a quote unquote micro influencer and influencer. They've got big followings. I would never be swayed by a number of someone that they have from a following, because, for example, I actually removed 10,000 followers a couple of years ago because they just were affecting engagement. I love analytics and things like that. And they were from when I was doing bodybuilding myself for years. So it was more of a male audience. I'm push towards everything I do right now is obviously female dominant and whatnot. So I think that numbers will come. Never worry about what the following is, so to speak. Worry about the impacts that you can have serving people, offering people in your community, you know, value adds, things like that, teaching them things about, you know, whether they're struggles, adversities, opportunities, positive things that are happening in your day, people that are actually relatable or that actually just want to learn about you. That's one of the most important things when it comes to branding. But the way we are and the way we world, the world we live in now is really automation. Is if you think that you can create this huge brand on your own across whatever platform you want, TikTok, Instagram, Threads, if you want to, whichever app we're talking about is that, or platform, if you want to create your own brand, you have to be consistent and you have to communicate. It's an open-ended conversation. I actually subscribe to Head of Marketing's Instagram, and I get all the updates of what's coming, what they're trialing, different bits and pieces. And I love learning about that because it's not just put a static post up, sit back and wait for people to start commenting. That just doesn't happen these days. Mm. It's about integrating ManyChat. It's about having these automations, DM me this word, opening conversations, writing back to people. If you haven't got time to write back to people, maybe a quick voice note here and there. But that's one thing that I can honestly say that it's always been really key important focus to me, is that constantly keeping up with my community, why are they following me? I'll do check-ins with them. I'll do the let's chat, type in the box. I'll make sure that I just, you know, go AWOL on my stories for 24 hours to reset my analytics. And then I'll always start with polls just to kick boost those sorts of analytics and engagement again. But create a community. Don't worry about chasing the following. The following will come when building a personal brand, but just know what your niche focus is. Are you, you know, it's not about what you're selling. It's about who you are and how you're getting there. And I think it's similar for you, even running events and, you know, running a podcast and things like that. It's anyone's going to want to know, hey, what's Morgan about? Oh, and I listen to this and he has rants, or he, you know, he's had a retreat there. That's cool. What's that about? It creates a bit of curiosity. And then that will flow into, you know, events and ticket selling and things like that. Oh, I've seen him pop up. I've seen, you know, a few struggles. I've seen a few opportunities. I've seen how he's built his, you know, businesses and whatnot. And now I want to go to his events. I want to learn more. I guess it's a bit of an enticer and a lead gen, really. But what's the purpose of having a brand, really? Because everyone wants a personal brand as well. And then comes in, you know, whether it's imposter syndrome, whether it's lack of momentum or motivation to even do that. But I have a lot of my clients, and they might not have big followers. They've got great businesses, and they'll say, oh, I just, you know, I need to build my personal brand. And I'll say, you've come to the right place. I'm all about personal branding. But why? Because if your business is bigger than you, it's not necessarily a bad thing. It's actually really good to be able to exit down the track because it doesn't have a person attached to it. Mm. But there's multi-layers to that. I think the most important thing is, if you're building a personal brand, is knowing your identity, knowing what you're actually showing up for, and being consistent.
One thing you've done really well, obviously, minding her business. How many community members have you got now across Australia?
I think we're over about 25K.
It's wild. So one of the biggest female business networking groups in Australia. What are some key things you've done to create an amazing community? Because building a community, like, it's one thing to create awesome content and be like, hey, we run events, come have fun. That's one thing. But there's another thing to actually want them to want to tell their friends and then come back and love it and all of this. So if you were to really sort of think back everything you've done in there, what are some key things you've done to really build this amazing community?
What the actual going back one step to why I started the business is that I was sort of found myself in a really in-between phase once I exited my promotional modeling agency, that I was facilitating and connecting so many people that were my clients or that were my friends or that were in that business prior to me exiting. So I would have phone calls going, oh, Katie, I need a photographer for this, or would you help me with that? And I would go, yeah, I'll put you in touch with this person, that person, let's all have coffee. And, you know, you can only have a certain amount of coffee meetings a week. So it got to the point that I'd actually do small group meetups with just us girls. And I didn't do many, to be honest, it was probably less than a handful. And there was this one moment where I actually couldn't make the breakfast, and I just in my head assumed that everyone knew each other. And there was about 10 girls going to one of my girlfriend's cafes, and it was pouring rain. I was stuck in traffic, and I said, look, by the time I get there, I'm going to be an hour late. The breakfast is over. You guys just have fun. And I called one of my friends that was going. She goes, Katie, I don't even know who's going. I was like, yeah, you know, such and such and such and such, and gave her a long shopping list of names. And she's like, no, don't know anyone. Fast forward, I never went to the breakfast. They all went. They had the best time without me. And then I got messages from a couple of my friends, and I guess you could call them associates. And they were like, Katie, that was incredible. Like, thank you so much for putting that on. Can you do another one? And then that put me into the mindset of going, well, what would happen if I could put more women in a room that could connect with people? And in this infancy ideation or startup phase of business, a lot of men and women don't have, you know, huge capital to put in or savings to put into their own business. So how could I create and facilitate an event where people could collaborate? And it wouldn't just be, what can I get for free? It would be, hey, look, Morgan, you're a photographer. If you would take photos of, you know, my beauty products, then I would give, you know, you beauty products to give to whatever, or you could use on your website these photos and say that I'm your client because we're working together, opposed to me forking out thousands of dollars. So, I just did a low-key first event, which was actually at another friend of mine that opened a bar from my previous business. We did a lot of promotional work and things like that there. And I called him and I said, Mick, I need to borrow your venue. I'm just going to have a small event, maybe like 40, 50 people. Just can you section off an area? You know, what does it cost? But I'm starting a new business. And he's like, you know, I'll look after you, come in. Anyway, silly me, went to bed with imposter syndrome, launched my ticket sales. And I went, no one's going to buy these. Like, this is just not going to go well, but that's fine. I've got heaps of friends. I'll just give them free tickets. I'll fill a room and it'll be a good day. Anyway, I woke up the next day and we had completely oversold. I never put a cap on the ticket sales. And I went,
how many were there?
Oh my God. Well, I needed to call Mick back. And I said, I actually need your whole venue. I think we were over like 100 at that point.
Yeah.
And then people turned up on the day, they're trying to buy tickets. And I was like, I mean, good problems to have. But at that time, I'm like, I only have this many cupcakes. I only have this many, like, we'd sort of worked all this out. But and from that, I was like, right, there is a real desire for this. But for me, I was like, if you're going to a business event, I was 19 when I had my modeling agency. I went to that many networking events. I was in rooms of, you know, 500 women, and I'd get sit down at this alternate drop plate breakfast where I got sat next to Mary and Susan. We had nothing in common. They're pitching to me about buying some anti-aging cream to sell to my 1,500 models because they thought I was just a database they wanted to tap into. And I'd go back to my desk and think to myself, that was such a waste of $150-$200 ticket for 3 hours. And then everyone just pitched to me and I didn't actually get to hang out and meet anyone. And everyone was so, you know, blacks and whites and just, you know, I guess not boring colors, but it was really corporate. And I was like, I need to move. When I have energy, I'm walking, I'm moving, I'm talking. So that's selfishly what I integrated in my own business. I was like, you know what, you need a dress to impress. And then I would just have like visuals everywhere. I was like, how can I get them to bring their friends without sitting there with their pen and paper getting email addresses? So I started just doing Instagram things on the day. I was like, if you tag and share this, then we're giving away this right now. Go. And we just grew hugely, super quick on socials at that time. And I think there's nothing like IRL, right? In real life.
IRL.
In real life.
Oh.
IRL. And when you actually get to connect with people and you can see their facial expressions and you can see their body language, you can connect with someone on a lot deeper level quicker, or maybe not so much quicker, and work out who's your tribe and find that tribe. And there are so many people, especially women, that are stay-at-home mothers that don't get to go out, and you don't go to bars at 10 o'clock on a Friday night to meet new friends if you're new to the area. So you want to go to these events where you're like, you know what, I want to feel empowered, I want to feel uplifted, definitely want a glass of bubbles, and sit there and listen to an empowerment panel to go home and feel inspired, whether you have a business or not. I think that was probably our biggest, outside of just doing those sort of aesthetic, I guess you'd call them visuals. Everywhere you look on the floor and there'd be like, hey, I'm exactly where I'm meant to be, sort of sticker on the floor. And you'd put your high heels in it and you'd take a photo and tag and share and that sort of stuff.
That's cool.
Oh, you're going to the bathrooms. We had stickers on the mirrors. It just everywhere you look and thought, the cupcakes, everything had our logo. We just made sure of it, that it was just popping up constantly everywhere. And we had funny little taglines to go with it. But, you know, we advertised as obviously it is a tax write-off, if you were to call it, for your business. And we encourage women to come alone. And I think once I got on my stories and I said, right, everyone is, you know, come out, step outside of your comfort zone. Nothing good happens inside it anyway. And then I brought on a team and of crew members and would have a team meeting in the morning. And I would say, I do not want one person getting out of the car and on their own for more than 30 seconds. So we actually scaled car parks. We had people in areas and team that they would literally be like, are you here on your own? Come with me. And they would connect people straight away. So our retention rate was huge because people would come on their own and then they would even have friends that they'd met at events, you know, that they would see every time. And then you'd start having people that have friends that they'd buy tickets. They'd say, no, actually, I'm going to go on my own to this one. They wouldn't even organize carpooling or Uber share ride or anything like that because they just actually wanted to go on their own to be in that environment where they could freely speak to whoever they want and just network with new people.
You remind me of like a female Richard Branson.
Wow.
Because everything, you know, if you know his whole story, but everything he created was because he's like, this is done shit. I'm going to do it better. Mm. Like so many of your things you've done, like the networking event, you know, you're just like, this is crap, or you're trying to figure out the journaling. I'm just going to make it better. That's like an actual just entrepreneurial mindset of just, because that's all entrepreneurs are, like going through life and getting things that are already happening and making them better, or just creating solutions for all the problems.
Yeah.
So I love it. Knowing everything you know now about entrepreneurship, business, if you were to go back to the beginning and give any sort of business advice, what would you do differently?
I don't know there's anything that really stands out that I would do differently, but I would have done things quicker. Having hesitancy, holding myself back, having just times where I would put things to the back burner. And I know that I'm like, you know, I don't want to just be the best on the market. I want to be first to market. So when I have that innovative idea, speak less, do more. I think I got so excited about telling everyone, you know, certain business ideas or transactions in the past that when I actually get to the point of execution, then I'm like, wow, if I did this 6 months earlier, I could have done it 10 times quicker or done 10 times more or whatever the case be. But that would be the biggest thing. I do have moments of looking back and, you know, what would you tell your younger self and things like that is right now where I'm at in my life, I'd probably actually listen to what my younger self would tell me. And that would probably change things more in a positive light.
I love it.
Yeah.
This has been amazing. Where can everybody hang out with you on social media and find you?
Yeah, good question. Miss Katie Stevens. I'm always there every day.
Instagram?
Every day on the gram. Yeah, website. It's all the same. Katie Stevens.
I love it. Yeah. And funny enough, I do have a final question I ask all my guests.
Uh-oh.
If you were to go back to your 18-year-old self and give her 30 seconds of advice, what would it be?
Okay. 30 seconds of advice to the younger Katie. Katie, you have two ears and one mouth and you should use them in that ratio because you could learn a lot more and get a lot further opposed to always having to have the last say.